gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the Gulag Archipelago of free speech. You come, you listen to the free speech, and then you get thrown in the gulag. But you want to make sure it's a nice gulag. I don't know. It's cold out there. That's all I'm saying. It's cold out there. And so send badly needed fundage to... Where do they send the badly needed fundage to, Jeremy?
Make the check out to RBN, the letters RBN. Send it to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And PayPal operates as usual for donations to RBN.
Okay. And while you're in that frozen gulag, you want to know if your icicles are kosher certified or not. So download the kosher certified app from nationalbugle.com. It is totally the most awesome site that you that sponsors. No, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that out of all the places that the kosher certified app sponsors, we're number one.
And what does it cost?
Can you afford not to download it?
Can you afford not to download the Core Certified?
I think it's $3.99. But, you know, Can you afford not to?
You can't.
All right. So just finishing up unfinished business from last night's Patrick and Jeremy show.
Yes.
I was commenting on Andrew Anglin. And in general, I think his analysis is really good, and he works tirelessly, so this is not really a criticism. But he has taken the position from the very get-go that there's no virus. And even if he's correct that there's no new virus, even if he was correct, the fact of the matter is that the consensus among not just, like, the evil people who run society, but, you know, the people at Stanford University or other places who have been pushing against the corona apocalypse, there is a consensus that there's some sort of new virus. It's not necessarily any worse than other well-known viruses that have come along, and it's not necessarily any worse than a bad or even a typical flu year. But there is something new. You know, people, there are certain symptoms that we didn't used to get, like losing your sense of taste and smell when, even though you can still breathe, you know, breathe through your nose, but you completely lose these senses. Certain things. And then, of course, for, old people, there does seem to be something that is tougher. Right? We have people we know who are for real people who are overweight or older or whatever. They're having a hard time. And that's the consensus. And even if you think it's wrong, it is the consensus. And so if you're going to analyze what the Russian government's doing or the Chinese government or the Japanese government, you have to consider that that the consensus among the leadership is there is something new. And, you know, you'd think somebody as smart as Vladimir Putin, even if there's something new that he would push against, you know, that he would be smart enough to know that all these responses are a bunch of nonsense. But one thing about Putin is he's not a dictator. He doesn't have all power. You know, he did leave the office of the presidency for 4 years because of term limits. And it wasn't a guarantee that he would get back the presidency. You know, there was that period where he was out because he was term limited out, and Dmitry Medvedev was the president for 4 years. These people have to deal with their own medias. They have to deal with their own bureaucracies. And like Stephen F. Cohen said, well, Putin is the decider, but there is a core of maybe a couple dozen people whose opinions matter. And that's why I think, and as far as like, I had a, I don't mean to filibuster at the beginning of the show, but I had a call a couple days ago from an old friend of mine in Japan, and he called up, and he was all excited, and he was saying, you know, all this virus, all this vaccine stuff, the vaccines are bad for you. You know that? I was like, yeah, I know that. Yeah, and really, the virus isn't so bad, right? You know that? Right. But, you know, it was invented as a bioweapon in China, right? And that's when I told him to, you know, I said, look, it's not the Chinese. It's if it was invented anywhere, I don't know if it was invented somewhere as a bioweapon, but if it was invented in America and unleashed in China. And I went and I got mad at that point. That was kind of my red line. But the thing is, you know, this is somebody who, you know, used to do research for McKinsey. He's a smart person, but people in a lot of other countries, they are influenced by our mainstream media. They don't necessarily understand to the extent that we do that it is completely fake news. And so there's a lot of confusion out there. I'm going to stop filibustering it and kick it over to you, Jeremy.
Well, as some very important person once said on a great commercial, the COVID-19 so-called virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon. Mm. And we see that.
Yeah.
You know, we see that with myocarditis in 16-year-old boys and 11 and 12-year-old children dropping and fainting after receiving this deadly shot. I mean, the vaccine is a bioweapon. I think we can all agree on that. Who knows where the so-called virus comes from, but I want to nail you with the original question that I left off with last night on In Plain Sight.
Yep.
As to what the Russian response would be to this vet that broke under the pressure of the COVID regime and shot up the federal office. But before we go there, let's get back into your little detour of viruses and Andrew England's analysis. I think I know what the man's saying. You know, I think the man knows that every year people get sick. Every year there's something that goes around and people get sick and it's something new. If you want to call it a virus, whatever. But this particular round of sickness saw people getting sick in June and July, which is really, really unprecedented. And that could have been because of the lockdowns, you know, because people were inside their houses in the spring and they didn't let whatever this was, run its course. But there is something making people sick. Germs, virus, pathogens, whatever you want to call it. But I think what Andrew is saying is that what they're calling the coronavirus muh variant, let's not forget about muh variant, which sort of, you know, we forgot all about that. That was a little bit of a nothing.
The muh variant, the mu variant, but yeah, the muh variant. Yeah, that, muh that variant. We forgot about that, didn't we? What happened?
And then the Decepticon-led Omicron, which sounds a lot like Unicron, the head Decepticon. Let's not forget that. You know, they're coming out with these new. I mean, they're saying there's something new, but there's really not. I think that's what he's exposing as being fake. I don't know that Andrew doesn't believe in viruses.
I mean. What he's saying is there's no new virus. And to say there's no new virus is not to say that there's no virus or no such thing as viruses or viruses don't make you sick. But he's just saying this is 100% just recategorizing the flu as the coronavirus.
Well, and that could be. I mean, that could be because every year there is a new cold, a new coronavirus, which is a cold, or some new flu. I don't want to say what I'm getting at is, you know, whatever is making people sick every year, they're capitalizing on it now. And your point, I think, is very valid, is that regardless of what it is, that's not the arguing point. The arguing point is, does the government and corporations have the right to completely and utterly strip us of all of our rights and our ability to do commerce over people getting sick, over something that's survivable by 99.9% of the population. That's your point, I do believe. Did I nail that?
Oh yeah, they don't have the right to do this. And, right. and it's being used as a pretext to implement a massive totalitarian police state apparatus in our countries. Now, here's the thing. So this gets back to the original question from last night about how would Vladimir Putin or the Russian government respond to a shooting, I guess, a veteran who was sick of all the lockdowns. He shot up a government office and killed two people. Was that the story?
Right.
Yeah.
How would they respond? I know how America would respond. They're responding like they're responding to everything else.
So, yeah, America would respond like that because the American government, which is controlled by the American elite, a Jewish-dominated elite, is basically at war with the majority of its populations, at war with the white people in particular. You could say it goes beyond just white people, but it's certainly whites are the main focus of it. So the American government has a hostile relationship with the American people. I don't believe that the Russian government feels that way about the Russian people. I don't think there's evidence that they do. You can have all sorts of complaints about the Russian government, but I don't think that fundamentally they are out to destroy the Russian people the way our government is out to destroy the founding stock, the pre-1960, or even going beyond the founding stock, the pre-1965 population of the United States. They're out to destroy us. And I think, you got Russia, which is not at war with its own population. China's not at war with its own population. Japan's not. And I do think that a big hunk of the elite, I think, A, there's a consensus, whether they're incorrect or not, there's a consensus that there is a new virus that is at least a little bit of a challenge. Some people might, obviously, Lukashenko doesn't think it's a challenge at all, and I think he's correct. But he's in a minority. And I think a lot of them think, well, it's something of a challenge. And I do think that the American media, CNN, and even if we think of it as a complete joke, CNN and the New York Times are taken seriously in the rest of the world. And I think there's an awful lot of confusion among the elites, not the Jewish elites, but just, the people who run Nigeria, the people who run Uruguay, or the people who run Thailand. I think there's a lot of confusion because they at least take the New York Times and CNN a little bit seriously.
Well, yeah, but that's your whole point, is that.
That is
because that's the plane that we're fighting on. If you're fighting, if the majority are fighting on plane A, you don't want to dip down to plane B and fight because you're not going to be fighting anyone, or they're not going to take you seriously. I don't know if that made sense, but plane A is
I think other countries still take the American government seriously.
Unfortunately,
I mean, obviously, the governments of Western Europe and Australia and New Zealand, Canada. These are controlled by the same people who control us. But if you look at Japan, Japan has done very well for itself over the past 150 years by emulating the Prussia and Great Britain and the United States. They've adopted so much of what we do, and tend to adopt things and then do it better. And they've done very well for themselves like that. And so it's hard for them. It's a very conformist society. And they don't look at China as their peer. They look at Europe and the United States as their peers. And they're very conformist. And they look at what's going on here. And I don't think they can really wrap their head around. I'm sure that they are not wrapping their head around the fact that our government has this hostile attitude towards its own population. And it may well be similar to that in some of these other countries.
Well, and so your whole thing is like, instead of trying to say, well, there's no virus, in order to win the hearts and minds of these people, get on their same plane, get on their fighting field. Okay, so what if there is a virus? Does it warrant this reaction, especially with a 99% survival rate? Right? I mean, that's your whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm going to push back just a little bit. I'm very disappointed in Russia. Very disappointed. Because I've seen many articles and even Twitter feeds, things that I got from the Stormer and other sources that show that the Russian government is pushing down hard on the populace over virus regime and implementing it. And I'm very disappointed in Putin over that. And I'm very much more appreciative of Lukashenko for just ignoring all of this. Mm. And so I think that the Russian government would use this as an opportunity to crack down on the populace because this one veteran snapped under the pressure of the whole virus regime.
Well, this will be an interesting test case. And, you know, I could be wrong or I could be right. And we might know more in a week or two.
Well, it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I'm at, and just wanted to get your opinion on that, because your opinion is very valued.
Thank you.
Speaking of Russia, though, let's get into some of the more base aspects of Russia. You got this totally axis of the base, Sino-Slavic relations. And amidst all of this, America and American media and Brandon administration wanting to wage war with Russia and China and Iran. Here's this article that I want to pull up of Putin and Xi coming together and basically saying, so this is from Newsweek, Putin and Xi working together to force Biden into a two-front crisis that he can't win. Basically saying, if you attack one of us, you attack both of us, Russia and China. Did you have a chance to glance over this? If not, I can read through it.
Please read through it.
As crises mount over the Ukraine and Taiwan, an unprecedented bond between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese President Xi Jinping has allowed the United States' two top rivals to force President Joe Biden into a two-front crisis that could spread his administration too thin to respond adequately to either. And should a shooting war erupt, there's little guarantee that the U.S. would come out on top. Let's see, there's a quote here. I don't think that the United States is prepared to go to war in the Ukraine. I don't think the United States is prepared to go to war over Taiwan. This is according to Lyle Goldstein.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, Patrick, Lyle Goldstein. He is an expert on China and Russia who served for 20 years as a research professor at the Navy War College. But despite his Jewish origins, he's not wrong. The United States absolutely could not go against one of these nations, much less both. And especially if they pivoted their axis with Iran and Syria. You know, that's a no-win situation for the U.S., the American empire.
Yeah, so let's hope so.
This is the baseness that I like about Putin, that he's willing to interact with Xi in China. And basically, he just put up a front and was like, okay, United States, what are you going to do now? You going to take both of us? So... I am anti-American empire. I'm not anti-American populace. But if we think we're going to start World War III over this nonsense, that's just bull.
Right.
And maybe Putin and Xi, maybe their strong stance, is going to stop a world war. That's what I'm looking for.
Let's hope so. We're at the break. We'll be right back.
A life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
And we are back. Okay, so when America loses World War III, whose occupation zone do you want to be under?
Well, have you given Russia it- has. Well, on the one hand, Russia has the best hookers in the world. Yep. Putin said that himself. So I would tend towards Russia in that aspect. But I do like China's response to the whole COVID narrative. They did an intense lockdown originally, and then they let up, and their citizens enjoy way more freedom than we do. So I think that the very structured Chinese communist people of a republic might be a good thing for our country in an occupation scenario.
Yeah.
I'm torn. I'm really torn.
So they split the America into occupation zones the way Germany was split up between the Soviets, the British, and the Americans, and then the Americans and the British gave little areas to France. So let's just say, Russia gets east of the Mississippi, China gets west, but maybe they want to bring in a couple other countries. And here's my suggestion. If they're going to bring in Iran for like a little zone, give them Brooklyn. Or maybe... Palm Beach. I think that will be good. In certain neighborhoods in Brooklyn, yeah, that'll be good. You get where I'm going with that, right?
Could they move some Sunnis into these areas and throw some fags off the roofs? I don't know.
Well, the thing is, I mean, moving, like, they if it was an occupation zone, they can have their soldiers, but they can't move in a civilian population.
And Russia is very good in opposing the sodomites. I'll get, you know, like I said, I'm pro-Russia until it comes to their vax measures and their COVID measures. And then I default to Lukashenko. But
maybe he could get a little occupation zone.
Man, Kentucky occupied Belarus in my dreams.
It's sad. It's sad. But, you know, we are so occupied now. And but you've got a lot of prep, and I don't want to just waste your prep. What else do you have?
Well, I mean, just in response, just real quick, I mean, isn't it interesting that we're actually having a conversation about this, about who's going to occupy America, and that other occupation would be better than the what we're under now?
Hey, we should be so lucky. Yeah. You know, if they give North Korea section, you know, I brush up my Korean and I'll go volunteer. Honestly, I don't think the North Koreans haven't done as well with their own country as a lot of these other countries have, but still, I suggest that North Korea gets Minneapolis, if not the whole state of Minnesota, because they could tear down those stupid George Floyd statues and put up statues of the great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung.
I'm down
with that. Yeah. Every statue of George Floyd or Martin Luther King or any of these other people should be taken down, and let's put up the great leader.
Well, in the remaining moments before the break, is it true that China is building a naval base in Africa?
Equatorial Guinea, I heard.
China, this is RT, the second most trusted name in news, second only to the Daily Stormer. Russia Today, China seeks first naval base in the Atlantic. And I don't know if this is U.S. media propaganda or if this is a thing, but it says that Beijing intends to build its first ever naval outpost on the Atlantic Ocean, which would allow China to position its warships opposite the east coast of the U.S., according to a media report. Have you looked into this? Is this a thing?
I heard about it, and Equatorial Guinea, that is, if I'm not very much mistaken, yeah, that is a tiny little, like a square-shaped enclave between Cameroon and Gabon. It used to be a tiny Spanish colony, but I guess it's got a port. There aren't very many good ports along the coast of Africa. That's, you know, that is one of the reasons that Africans weren't seafaring people, and the other reason is, like, I can't swim. And also, you know, it's wet out there. It's wet out there in the ocean. But it is pretty far from America when you get down to it. It's not as if they're getting a base in the Bahamas or the Azores or the Caribbean. Equatorial Guinea is really pretty far away from the mainland America. So whatever, good on them if they want it, whatever. Like I've been saying for years, it's totally fine with me if China becomes like the hegemon for all of Africa, because the Europeans have done a suicidal job of it. I mean, European involvement in Africa has been absolutely suicidal for Europeans, for whites. So, the Chinese, they might be able to do a good job with it, and if not, at least it won't be us. We won't be hanging our own necks, right? But we're at the break, so we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are back. All right. So what's next on our agenda?
Well, as you know, the defecator in chief, resident Brandon, does not have a lot of support right now. He and Kamala Harris are sinking in the polls, much like Bitcoin sank after the Black Friday Omicron stock hoax. But what they do have support on, bipartisan support, is for Brandon's latest limp-wristed attack on China. This is according to the Daily Stormer. Jen Psaki announces that the Biden administration will not send diplomatic representation to the Beijing Olympics, giving the People Republic of China's ongoing genocide and crimes against humanity. Well, that's rich. The Brandon administration has announced a diplomatic boycott of the 2022 Beijing Olympics. And if you read this article as well as others, you'll see a lot of tweets from China saying, good, we don't want U.S. diplomats here to begin with. But what I wanted to bring up, you got something on that real quick.
Well, no, I you know, you think of sassy Jen Psaki, and she just says the most outrageous stuff. Somebody sent me something yesterday. And what was the question? The question was totally outrageous. Do you really believe such and such? And she said, yes. What was it? I'll get it for you. You keep going.
Jen Psaki. Let me just quote Jen Psaki here in her Department of State tweet.
Sassy.
We will not send any diplomatic or official representation to the 2022 Winter Olympics and games in Beijing, given the PRC's ongoing genocide and crimes against humanity and other human rights abuses. This does not modulate at all our support for Team USA. I'm quoting Jim Psaki's nonsensical. Yeah. So anyway, what I wanted to bring up was that, isn't it interesting that Resident Brandon is sinking in all of his other, you know, in everything that he's done except for his push against China, his pro-war China stance.
Yeah.
In that, he gets total support, bipartisan. That's interesting that the cucked out, faggoty Republicans who will not stand up for us or whites, if you put a gun to their head, they will stand up for war against China, Russia, or Iran. That's what I wanted to bring out. Your comments?
Yeah, I wish I could find that what it was Jen Psaki said, but that is it. It's just, what is one other issue that the Democrats and the Republicans always agree on? Do you remember the 2009 vice presidential debate between Biden and Sarah Palin? And Sarah Palin was just so happy that Biden, Senator Biden and her both agree on how much they love Israel.
Yeah, it's like, that is the one thing they all agree on. Let's all circumcise ourselves for this tiny state in the Middle East that says they're God's people, but they hate Christ. Let's all go on board with that and give them $38 billion a year. I mean, that's, I don't know if it's a year, but it's a lot of money, $38 billion and counting. Now, that is the one thing you can get conservatives and Democrats on the same table, is support for Israel. And apparently Israel wants war with China, which I will add, anybody that says that China is Israel's bitch, they're totally delusional, because you have the entirety of U.S. politicians under Jewish domination supporting war with China. How can China be on board with Israel? That's a point of logic that I cannot.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. So you got, you know, whether it's Brandon, Biden, whatever, or the Secretary of State, what's his name, Tony Blinken, you know, they're threatening war over Taiwan. And then you got, you know, the Republicans in Congress. You got people like Matt Gaetz, who is introducing legislation to demand $5 trillion in reparations from China because it created the deadly coronavirus.
And that's where another point that I disagree with Anglin on. And Anglin, if you don't like it, pal, come on the show, damn it. Just come on the show and tell us we're wrong. Matt Gaetz is a total cuck. He has circumcised himself to the desert rats. And he is not going to make a good presidential candidate. So get off of this crap. You know, get off this crap with Matt Gaetz. Who cares about that sexual degenerate? I mean, this entire system is illegitimate. We don't need any of these people running for president. There's not even going to be a legit presidential election. So it's up to the states to secede. To secede through noncompliance. I'm on a tangent there. I don't know. I got off on a little bit of a tangent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could say, is there going to be a fair election in 2024? Is there going to be an election in 2024? Is there going to be a 2024? We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves right there.
That goes for the total cuck, Ron DeSantis. You know, we can give him a couple of accolades for pushing back on the COVID, whatever. But he is an Israeli first, and that is just not going to be good for us. No, I don't want DeSantis as a presidential candidate. I mean, he's doing okay as a governor as long as he pushes against this hoax, but he is not what we need. I don't know what we need. There is nobody, absolutely nobody, that can run in 2024, even if it was illegitimate. Let's pretend. Let's go back in time and pretend like There's not total and utter election fraud through mail-in ballots because of hoax 19. Let's pretend. Who are we going to run? Trump? The Vax Man? DeSantis? The Israel cuck? There's nobody to run.
Yeah, I mean, Trump will run. And the thing is, had he learned appropriate lessons over the past year, then it would be worth giving him another chance. But he's not showing any evidence that he's learned the important lessons. The people are around him as far as I know, he still has Jared Kushner around him. And these other people, these like C-list Republican luminaries, they're pushing the China stuff. They're pushing all this stuff, pushing the vax. And so he hasn't learned any lessons. And, you know, he's pushing against the election hoax, but of course that's because he has his self-interest in it. But besides the election hoax, which is worth pushing against, but besides that, what is he doing that is at all reasonable, that shows any learning? And is, you know, if he's still surrounding himself with these types of people, I mean, he could have appointed decent people. He didn't. He could have appointed decent people. Instead, he appointed, you know, Ivanka's partying buddies and Nikki Haley and Governor Perry from Texas. He just appointed all these people. What did he think he was going to get? He did all this stuff to try to mullify, is that what you call them? Is that when you give somebody a mullet? But try to mullify the Jews by giving all this stuff to Israel. It didn't work. He tried to get the establishment Republicans on his side by appointing Nikki Haley and those types of people. Didn't work. They just undermined him. And it would be one thing if it's like ex-President Bush said, Bush the retarded, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, we won't be fooled again. And he's being fooled again. He hasn't shown any learning.
And here's the sad part.
Yeah.
Here's the really sad part. Is that all of these boomer magatards, and they're not just boomers, like technically. There are a lot of millennials and zoomers in rural areas like Kentucky and Tennessee and the heartland that just anything Trump says, they think Trump is it. And they're in this cult. They're in this cult. And similarly to how liberals are in the COVID cult and they ignore how the vaccines are having an adverse effects on their young people, and they ignore the fact that this whole virus regime is a hoax. There are Trump-tards of all ages, mostly boomers, that will ignore Trump's failures. And if he ran in 2024, they would all jump on board because that's the only thing they know to do. They're good people. They work hard every day, you know. They provide for their families. They're the core. They're the salt of America. But they're so f***ing retarded. Because you know why? They're going to just go along with whatever Trump says and does. And that's their default. They're going to go with Trump. And if he runs in 2024, they're going to ignore all the election hoax and all the mail-in ballots. And they're just going to go with it. And it's just going to be a cycle, you know, vote for the guy, you know, vote for this guy, you know, because he's giving you something that you want, you know, in theory. And they're going to ignore all of his past faults. So that's really the bad point. That's the low point of American politics.
So the thing is, he's almost certainly going to run, and he very well may win. Would that even represent a victory? And the thing is, he may run, and he may be the better of the two alternatives, but what we're going to have to understand, no matter what happens, is unless he were to really fundamentally change his attitude and his thinking, which is pretty unlikely, the presidential election, even though it might be important, it is not going to be decisive. It is not. Even if, the presidential election, the Republicans get control of the Congress and Trump's back in the White House, that gets us very little, if anywhere. And so it's not decisive. It might be, like, I'm not an accelerationist. I'm a slow downist. We got to slow down. and that might be part of a little bit of putting on the brakes, but that is not our salvation. And you know, if there's going to be an election, there probably will be an election. If there's going to be an election, we should do all sorts of activity and campaigning. And if the mood in the country is pro-Trump, getting out there and being critical of Trump and critical of the Republicans, and having a very, very vocal critique, and not being guaranteed to be supporters, not necessarily supporting, but just going out there, not being part of this. It's either the Democrats or the Republicans. Just going out there with a very, very, very strong critique, and and try to get people to go our way, even if we aren't a candidate, even if we don't have a candidate, use the election as a vehicle for a movement.
Well, it's also unfortunate that if they let Trump into office, and I mean that, let him into office, he's going to be pushing the vax, whatever the vax is against the current variant. And 90% of his supporters are against vaccinations. So there's this cognitive dissonance that's going to, you know, be prevalent in right-wing politics where, you know, Trump is the guy that we want, but he's pushing the deadly vax that we don't want. And it's just going to be a huge mess. And that's what I'm saying is, like, this is a cult. I mean, these Trump supporters, they're a cult. Just like the COVID cult. And they're willing to support this man in spite of all of the things that they know for sure that he's saying is wrong, which is pushing the deadly vax.
Well, here's something. The 2024 election would be scheduled for 3 years from now, minus a month, 35 months from now. And if you were to go back 35 months, you know, you'd be talking about, you know, the very beginning of 2019. What was going on in the very beginning of 2019? It was a very, very different world. And while the vax is like, that is the hill to die on, the vax, that may be way in our rearview mirror. And that doesn't mean that we would have beaten it by now. It may mean that they got all they wanted out of the vax and now they're going on to the next step. And who knows what it's going to be? I don't know what things are going to be like in 2024. So it's really hard to say, but back in, you know, 3 years ago, I would not have predicted that we would be talking about the things we're talking about today. And I the one thing I do feel confident of is that I have no idea what 3 years from now is going to be like.
Well, what we can be confident on if Trump gets office is that he's not going to appoint anyone any better. He's going to push the vax, and he's going to give Shlomo whatever he wants. And people are going to ignore that. So a Trump victory would almost be the worst case scenario.
We'll see what happens. There's a lot of things could happen. And of course, by 3 years from now, we might be in a grips of a totalitarianism. That, you know, that there might not even be a need for a fake election.
Well, that gets us into our next article. The U.S. military, the majority of Americans do not trust the U.S. military. Would you trust the U.S. military?
Men, women, and trannies of the U.S. military, thank you for your service.
Thank you for cutting your penis off and acting like you're a woman.
We have our four-star admiral.
the dishonorable four-star admiral, Rachel Levine.
He outranks General Flynn.
That's a man, baby. There's a drop right there. Daily Stormer. Poll shows that majority of Americans no longer trust the military. And from RT, Daily Stormer quotes the RT. Trust in the U.S. military has dropped so far that most Americans don't have strong confidence in their armed forces. And the trend has accelerated since Joe Biden took office as commander-in-chief, the results of a new poll show. This kind of goes back into our original discussion about the U.S. military being turned against the populace.
Yeah.
Not the UN, not the Blue Hats, but the U.S. military turning on its own populace.
Well, we're at the break. We will take that apart on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back. You just mentioned a survey saying that the majority of the people don't trust the U.S. military anymore. And of course, there are a lot of very good, decent people in the U.S. military, but you look at the generals who seem to be in charge, how many of them are good, decent people?
On top of that, 90% of the military are taking the deadly shot, which means they're going to stay. Oh, yeah. which means they're going to stay in service and they're going to put up with CRT, trannies, faggots, and all the like serving in the military. So I initially thought that over half the military would just quit just because of the vax mandate, not to mention this other stuff, but they're staying. They like their money. You know, the U.S. military pays very well. They're very high paid mercenaries and they have benefits that exceed anything that you would get in the civilian world. So it doesn't surprise me that these people in the military are bought and paid for. And
I have a friend who was a colonel. He's retired now, but I used to visit him. I visit him in Korea and Germany and Japan and, you know, other places in the United States. And it was like he had a some sort of Club Med timeshare. I mean, these places, he might be in the middle of Seoul, which is a real crowded town, but he'd have a nice watered lawn, you know, a nice bungalow, you know, rambling bungalows. Like being Club Med or something, having I don't know what I don't actually know what a timeshare is like, and I don't know what Club Med's like, but it's just like, you know, they go, there's this archipelago of bases all over the place, and, you know, they can hang out in their suburban base, and then when they want to, they can go out and have, you know, exotic food and whatever, and they like that lifestyle. At least the officers do.
Let me help you out. Even the enlisted, I was enlisted in the Air Force for over 20 years, and when we went temporary duty, and we went to do classes, let's say, in Seattle or Charleston, South Carolina, or Anchorage, Alaska, I mean, we had like $120 a day per diem. And we could stay in the nicest hotels and eat the finest food and drink the best craft beer. And so the military is treated very well, unlike maybe boomers that, you know, remember Nam and the Kong. That's not the case. Today, the military is treated very well. And these people, these traitors to America, they're traitors. They're not willing to give that up to push back against the vax and to push back against everything that this fake administration is pushing on us, CRT, trannyism, and the like. And 90% of them are willing to acquiesce to keep their lifestyle. These people will turn on us. Forget about blue helmets and UN troop and FEMA camps. Our own military will turn on us when they're commanded to. Do not doubt me.
I don't doubt you, Jeremy. I don't doubt you. But maybe next week we'll be able to end on a happier note, a lighter note. But I think this week, no, we're going to end on a downer. But I do guarantee that we'll have some optimism next week. How's that?
Black pills a galore on this episode. Sorry, guys.
All right. But it won't always be like that. But it is like that this week. So there you go. Thank you so much for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, and try to stay classy in spite of everything.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.